Last night, it was the same thing. The Pittsburgh Steelers are playing a playoff game. The Pittsburgh Steelers offense does nothing. Mm-hmm. The Pittsburgh Steelers lose. Steeler fans want Mike Tomlin fired. Aaron Rodgers has an early playoff exit. Honestly, Teak, it's the same thing every year. And again, the Steeler fan wants Mike Tomlin sent away.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I wouldn't be shocked if Mike Tomlin wants to go away. Because think about this. You go back to Mike Tomlin's career when he came to Pittsburgh, kind of out of nowhere, gets this job, has really immediate success, ends up winning a Super Bowl. Bruce Arians, my buddy, family basically, is his offensive coordinator. He leaves. And then from that point on, it's Todd Haley, Randy Fichtner, who was after him? Matt Canada. Then you get Arthur Smith. It's been this ineptitude of offensive issues. Part of that is their quarterback. Like, they just can't have success without a viable quarterback. And as soon as Ben Roethlisberger retired, they're just searching forever for quarterbacks, but they're never going to pick high enough to get a quarterback because they're always in the postseason. And from a Pittsburgh Steelers standpoint, fan standpoint, I get the frustration, but I can also see the frustration for Mike Tomlin. This almost feels like a Sean Payton situation where he knows that it's come to the end and he needs to take a break, wants to take a break, reset, go do television for a year, and then come back into coaching. It just feels like this is the end. And I have no intel on that, but this feels like this is the end.
And you think it's the end because Mike Tomlin's done. Right? Not just, as much like, that the Steelers
how
are
often,
done.
Because think about if you're Mike Tomlin. You're grinding. You're banging your head as hard as you can to get this thing happening. And then you hit the same situation every year.
Yeah.
Same wall every year. So it's just you're banging your head over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. How are you getting your quarterback?
They're not.
Exactly. You got to keep trying to find the errant. Last year was Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson. Right. And this year, it's Aaron Rodgers. How are you finding your quarterback? They're not drafting a quarterback. They're never going to get high enough to draft a quarterback. Okay, you can go get a free agent that's disgruntled. Like, I don't know, Joe Burrow. There's no way in hell the Cincinnati Bengals are letting Joe Burrow go to Pittsburgh. And so what other veteran can you go pine for that's going to make you a viable championship-level team? The answer is no one.
Right.
And so Mike Tomlin is a realist. He's a real dude, right? He is that guy. He can't be looking at this and saying, oh yeah, there's some optimism here. I see this going forward. This is our path. He's probably looking at this saying, next year we'll win 9-10 games,
yeah,
be exactly where we are,
yeah, yeah,
and lose again in the postseason because we don't have a quarterback.
Right.
We don't have someone who can lift us and take us where we need to go. This isn't an indictment on Aaron Rodgers, even though it is an indictment on Aaron Rodgers. This is just a situation with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So to me, this feels like the end for him.
Well, it's interesting to look at that
in
perspective.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah. Because the perspective I think most of us have, and you hear it from callers, because the Steelers are like the extra local team. The Steelers and the Cowboys are like the That's extra funny. Local team in New York, because there's so many Steeler fans who live here, Cowboy fans who live here. And you hear it all the time from Steeler fans. Ah, it's time to move on. And it's interesting that you come from the perspective, well, if you're Mike Tomlin, isn't it time to move on?
Right.
Isn't it time to say, you know what? I've been here for 19 years. I've given everything I have to this franchise. Where is the future? If I'm not finding that quarterback, and you're right, how are you finding that quarterback? It may behoove Mike Tomlin, and you've been saying this for months. Every time I bring up Tomlin's name as a breakup inevitability, you always say, yeah, even if they break up, though, he's going to sit out a year. And that's probably best for him.
Right.
And not only is it best for him, let's talk about the other team in town. It's best for the Jets.
Right. He's unavailable for the Giants, so you can't pine for the Giant fans. But for the Jet fan? This now gets interesting.
Well, think about it from a Giant perspective real quick, and then we'll bring in the Jets.
Right.
If there is a breakup this week between Tomlin and the Steelers, whether it's Mike's choice or Pittsburgh's choice,
yeah,
or it ends up becoming a mutual breakup,
right,
I don't think the timing works for the Giants.
No.
They're pursuing John Harbaugh. They may have to trade for Mike Tomlin, assuming how this plays out.
He's under contract, right, Sean?
He's under contract this season, and then there's a team option that the Steelers have to decide on for 2027 by March 1st. So Pittsburgh has to make a decision on Tomlin, not for this next year,
right,
but for the year after. And you're right. If Tomlin goes to ownership and says, hey, look, I'm done, the Steelers could play hardball and say, no, you're not. You're under contract.
Right.
So I think the timing for the Giants just makes it a real challenge.
Doesn't make sense.
As much as I get why a Giant fan would say, hey, I prefer Mike Tomlin over John Harbaugh. And you've been saying it for a while. And I believe you've been saying it because you have some kind of knowledge on this. And that is, if there's a breakup with Tomlin, he sits out a year. Well, if he sits out a year, that is perfect for us as Jet fans.
Right. This is the Sean Payton path.
Yes. It allows Mike Tomlin to make a ton of money on TV. It allows Aaron Glenn to get another year, and we'll see what happens. If Aaron Glenn has a great year next year, fine. We're not talking about Mike Tomlin. But if Aaron Glenn has the likely disastrous year two, where they go 3-14, all of a sudden, Mike Tomlin comes in, mm-hmm. he cleans house, he changes the culture, Woody gives him $30 million a year, and it's perfect.
Right?
And we can reignite the Tomlin-Harbaugh wars in New York, Battle of MetLife Stadium.
2027 they play.
They do. So I think if there is a breakup, that is actually perfect for the other team because it allows him to sit around, watch, enhance his value, and gives the Jets a chance a year from now to possibly improve on their head
because
coach.
Just like Bill Cowher, when Bill Cowher retired, it was for very different reasons. Obviously, we all know this because his wife was ill.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thought he was coming back, that he was taking a personal mental health family break. And for the next decade, it wasn't like 2 or 3 years. It was like a decade in the pining for Bill Cowher, who went to TV and has been there now for, 19 years?
Yeah.
Because, he's been there as long as Mike Tomlin's been the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But for a decade, Bill Cowher was the hottest coach available every offseason.
He could have had any job he wanted.
Any job. And so if Mike Tomlin decides to walk away or the Steelers decide to move on from him, he can go do whatever he wants for a year, two, three, four, and then come back whenever he's ready to coach again.
Yeah, I mean, he could wait until the next Giants head coaching cycle as well. not to say that the Giants are going to have a failed head coach, but to your point about Cowher, he was able to sit there for a decade and a half and be like the number one coaching candidate out there. And what's funny about Bill Cowher is when he walked away from Pittsburgh, he was 49 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Tomlin's 53.
Right.
So, which is crazy to think that Tomlin is 4 years older than Bill Cowher was when he walked away from Pittsburgh and never came back. I think the breakup's inevitable, and I have felt that way for months. I didn't know how it would end. Mm-hmm. I just knew it wouldn't end with a championship.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know if they were going to make the playoffs or not. I think I had predicted that they wouldn't. His streak of finishing above 500 would finally end. But you watch last night's game, and I got to tell you, even though it was low scoring and C.J. Stroud fumbled the football about 18 times and the Texans should have won this game 55-3, I found last night's game so wildly entertaining.
Really?
I did.
How come? Because of the ineptitude of Aaron Rodgers?
It was, yes. Yes.
I mean, it felt like he had no idea where to throw the football.
Yes. It was miscommunication all the time. He's yelling at everybody.
Every single snap, it felt like somebody was on the wrong page.
And to defend him a little bit, because I'm being honest, how did the Pittsburgh Steelers run game look on first down? I mean, they were basically 2nd and 12 every single time.
Yes.
Whether it's Kenneth Gainwell getting picked off for a 2-yard loss or what have you. So it wasn't just Aaron Rodgers. But watching the dominance of the Texans' defense, I found that to be fun to watch. That's number one. Number two, all the mistakes C.J. Stroud made as the Texans are marching down the field at will, and then Pittsburgh never being able to take advantage of it. You know, we talk about turnovers. The first C.J. Stroud turnover, Steelers get the football at their own 44-yard line, mm-hmm. 3 and out.
Right.
The second time they get the ball, this was probably the best exhibition of great defense. They got it on the Texan 21-yard line, and the Steelers had a 7-play, 2-yard drive that led to a field goal. And then finally, the last CJ turnover, which was so brutal because it was in the red zone, they got the ball at their own 4-yard line. They got one first down and had to punt again. So they were unable to take advantage of all the Texan mistakes. So the game was close. It was entertaining. And then when the Texans blew it open in the fourth quarter, as Aaron Rodgers is getting strip sacked and pick sixes, I have to admit, I found some joy in watching Aaron Rodgers struggle. If I'm not going to have success, I want everyone else to fail.
You are such a hypocrite and such a piece of work. Forget the Rodgers stuff for a second. That game last night was a lot like a wedding after party. All week, you're like, you know what? I'm looking forward to this. And then you get there and you're tired and it sucks and it's not that good.
Oh, completely disagree.
And you know why, Evan? What? Because you fought with me during Cinco de Luncho yesterday that Bears-Packers wasn't the best game of the week and it was Jags-Bears. And you said, well, I remember Saturday, I watched all these games. It was the best way to watch it. You were a part of this in real time last night. Now you're overinflating the playoff moment. It was the worst game, most boring game of the weekend.
No, it was a terrible game.
Why? Because the Texans played brilliant defense?
No.
And it made the Steelers look incompetent?
Because it felt, even though it was 7-6 at halftime.
And it was 10-6 in the fourth quarter.
10-6 in the fourth quarter. It felt uncompetitive.
Correct. Not all 10-6s are created equal.
That's right.
No, it felt...
The Steelers felt inept on offense.
No, I agree, because think about, and I just gave you the examples of what they did with Texan turnovers. They were unable to take advantage of it. They could never move the football. They were set up in third and longs constantly, which is why they were 2-for-12 on third down or whatever they were. But it was still a close game. And I still found the struggles of Aaron Rodgers, especially when he yells at people. I found it incredibly entertaining.
Right.
Now, does this give me the ultimate joy as a Jet fan that Aaron Rodgers failed? Not the ultimate joy. But last night when I'm sitting there watching a football game, yeah, I didn't mind that he failed, because I know if he didn't fail and he played well and the Steelers won last night, I wouldn't hear the end of it. I wouldn't hear the end of it from Sean. I wouldn't hear the end of it of LOL Jets. So while I don't get any victory out of Rodgers failing, I can't tell you I didn't enjoy it last night.
Yeah, it just feels like, ha ha, you're done.
Yeah.
You don't get to walk off into the sunset, Aaron Rodgers.
And I also think, like, the speculation around Rodgers and Tomlin is also fascinating. You know, you mentioned that Tomlin...
Whatever Mike decides to do, the question is now, what does Aaron Rodgers decide to do?
See, the Rodgers thing is more whatever. Like, he'll retire, he won't retire, he's not going to let us know for 3 months. Mike Tomlin's one of the best coaches on the planet.
Yeah.
And so Mike Tomlin becoming available, whether it's in the short term, probably not, or the long term, as you painted it, is absolutely fascinating, because it could help my team and many other teams over the next couple of seasons. And then it also leads to, what do the Steelers look like? In my lifetime, they've had two head coaches. I don't remember Chuck Knoll.
No.
But even if you go past Bill Cowher, Knoll, Cowher, and Tomlin, they've had three coaches in 60 years. Right. So them...
It's unreal.
It really is. So them moving on...
We've had three coaches in 5 years.
I know. So them moving on is like... very appealing. Now, Mike was asked last night after the loss about his future, and you would expect Tomlin did not want to go into detail on what his plans are. But here's the question to Coach Tomlin. What do you think about your future in Pittsburgh?
I'm not even in that mindset as I sit here tonight. I'm more in the mindset of what transpired in this stadium and, you know, certainly what we did and didn't do. Not a big picture mentality to sit here tonight.
Can you read out of that? Does that sound like a guy who's like done in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I don't know. Mike Tomlin he's very hard to read. Always. I remember the only time, because I never called any Pittsburgh games during my time at CBS, but I did when I worked for NBC cover their Super Bowl, and so it was actually really cool, because I got to spend time out in. With him and doing some interviews and just talking about his career. And I remember on game day, I was like, Mike, where's your puffer jacket? Because he always used to wear that big jacket.
Yes.
You just look like a badass on the sideline. Like, don't mess with me in an alley. And he said, he's like, no, not today, Teak. I got work to do. I was like, damn, they're going to win this game.
That's serious Mike Tomlin.
It was serious Mike Tomlin. So that felt like serious Mike Tomlin. Not like... I got it all under control. I have this. It felt like I have some real thinking to do.
It feels like this could be a standoff between two parties that are ready for divorce, but no one wants to say, I want to get divorced. And I've never been in a part of a divorce, and I wonder if that's how it goes, where the man's ready to move on, the woman's ready to move on, but no one wants to actually say it.
Right.
But I think when you look at the current situation in Pittsburgh, where every year they're in the playoffs, every year they're good, but they always fall short. As much as that sounds great for us as Jet and Giant fans, I get why in Pittsburgh, whether you're Mike Tomlin, you're the ownership, or you're the fans, you say, enough of this.
Yeah.
I've got to try something different. The other thing is Rodgers, and I don't know if he's going to come back or not. I don't know if he's going to bounce around the league or if he's simply going to retire. But here are the facts about Aaron Rodgers, and I'll include the Steelers, the Jets, and the Green Bay Packers in this. When Aaron Rodgers arrives to a team, he hasn't made a huge difference.
No.
When he came to my team, the Jets were 7-10. He got hurt. He barely played. They went 7-10. Then the year he was finally healthy, they went 5-12. Now, I'm not blaming that all on Rodgers. The defense obviously went backwards, but the results are the results.
Right.
They went from a 7-win team to a 5-win team. The Pittsburgh Steelers in the two prior years to Rodgers getting here went 10-7 and lost in the first round of the playoffs. What happens this year with Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh? They went 10-7 and lost in the first round of the playoffs. You look at Green Bay, his final year there, they went 8-9. They move on from him. What have they done since? Mm-hmm. Well, they're basically in the playoffs every year.
Right.
So, unfortunately for Rodgers, at this point in his career, that's kind of what's happened to him. It's not making teams better.
He's the reliable, good starting quarterback who's going to do what he's supposed to do. But he's not the difference maker that's going to win you a game off of his acumen, his mind, his playmaking ability. That's not what's happening in the postseason. It used to be, but it doesn't feel like that's anymore. At the Aaron Rodgers that's playing from age probably, 36 to age 41. It's just a different Aaron Rodgers. Part of it's health. It's the game is changing. It's probably the relationships with these younger skill position players. Hell, he's probably older than some of the coaches. So it's just.
He's the same age as D'Amico Ryans.
Right.
He was coaching against Rodgers last night.
Right. So it's just. Sometimes it just passes you by and you don't realize it. And I think maybe that's what's happening with Aaron Rodgers.
Does he play next season?
I don't think so.
So that was his final game.
I don't know who wants him.
Oh, I think somebody would want him. I think the Minnesota Vikings would want him.
So Aaron Rodgers is going to end his career being basically pushed out of Green Bay, being laughed out of New York, and being dismissed from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
If you want to continue to play football, if that's your goal, then yeah.
But I mean,
because you love to play the game? Because you just can't get enough of it? Because you know once you walk away, it's over? Unless you try the Phillip Rivers comeback, as Troy Aikman alluded to last night at the end of the game. Like, if you just love the game so much, you keep playing, even if, yes, you're being discarded wherever you go.
That, I feel like we're heading towards the direction of he retires, a quarterback gets hurt in September or October next year, and then the buzz gets Rodgers is coming to play.
But does he do it? Does he pull the trigger the way Phillip Rivers did?
I think only if that's... Now, remember, Rivers is 5 years after. I don't think Rodgers is waiting 5 years. I think next year, yeah, I do. If a quarterback gets hurt and a team calls, I think he's coming out of retirement.
I was doing research during the last commercial break.
Really?
The most ever NFL coaching vacancies in an offseason, and the most I've ever seen is 8, which is where we're at now. So if Pittsburgh has an opening, I think we're looking at an NFL record.
Crazy. This Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ, precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. It was a brutal night for Rangers and Nets fans alike last night. The Rangers continue to be hopeless without Adam Fox and Igor Shesterkin, as Seattle got it cracking at the Garden last night with a 4-2 victory. The Nets, meanwhile, had Cooper raise a Maverick flag, dropping 27 on Brooklyn last night as the Nets fell to Dallas 113-105. Both the Nets and Rangers fan bases may, in fact, start to make vacation plans for May.
Well,
already.
Forget the Nets for a second. They're tanking.
Good wordplay out there, Sean, by the way.
There were fire jury chants last night. The Rangers had an early 2-0 lead. They ended up losing 4-2. They're one of the worst teams in hockey. Are you ready to dead them, Sean? Are you ready to bury them and say the season's over?
Season's over. Gutless planning by Chris Drury. Thinking Connor McDavid just simply walked to Broadway. I don't understand. Get James Dolan back in here with the scarf, McMonagle, and let's re-ask him if Chris Drury's safe. What exactly?
He said they had to change the culture.
Yeah, well, the culture sucks.
Yeah.
And I think we are getting close. We could say this within a week, that the New York Giants are, in fact, closer to a championship than the New York Rangers.
I think you could probably say it right now. I don't think that's crazy. I mean, neither are close, but yeah, I think most Giant fans, and you certainly fit as a Giant Ranger fan, have more hope about the future right now with the Giants and the head coaching search than you would the Rangers. Now, real quick, the Steeler fan has been angry at Mike Tomlin for a while.
Yes.
And so I wanted to play for you a few Steeler fans reacting to what happened last night. First of all, who do you blame for the Steeler loss? You sat there, you watched the game. I sat there, I watched the game.
Yeah.
Who do you blame?
I mean, ultimately, it's going to go to the head coach because everything rolls uphill, not down. But if I had to blame somebody, it would be Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator.
Well,
because their offense felt inept.
Believe it or not, the first Steeler fan, it's a social influencer who recorded a video last night, did not blame Arthur Smith, did not blame Mike Tomlin. Did not blame Aaron Rodgers.
What?
Did not blame. She decided to blame somebody else.
I will say right now, Steeler fans, you're the reason they're losing. You guys suck.
Wow.
Nobody is screaming when they're on offense. Nobody cares. You all pay money to come to the game, but nobody cares to help the team. Fan base is terrible right now. There's no momentum.
So it's the fans' fault, Tiki.
It's the fans' fault. She sounded a little imbibed.
You think so?
Like the words were just getting long. No one coming. Nobody's screaming.
I don't know. I'm just some guy watching the game on TV. The crowd sounded awesome.
Yeah, being with the boos when they were inept in the red zone.
They were booing the offense.
They definitely were booing.
Well, and I get it. I understand why. I mean, the offense
was a playoff game, man.
But you
support
also,
your team until it's over.
Nah, but you also boo. The Eagle fans were booing over the weekend as well.
Yeah, but they're Eagle fans.
What does that mean?
I guess they're both Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's just they're
is
not
it tied.
Yes. Repeat after me. They're not normal people.
And the Eagle fan booing makes less sense. They won a Super Bowl last year. At least in the Steeler fans' argument, they have gone on for their standards a drought.
And that was the first home playoff game with fans for them in 8 years.
Yeah. Here is another Steeler fan explaining why he and most Steeler fans are done with Coach Mike Tomlin.
Do you know what it comes down to? It comes down to the same guy it's come down to for so many years. So many seasons. A Mike Tomlin-led Pittsburgh Steelers team comes up short in January. I don't care what your defense of Mike Tomlin is. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it anymore. He's won a playoff game in four out of 19 seasons coaching in the NFL. That's embarrassing. And if they bring him back next year, it will look the same. The same as I said last year leaving Baltimore. If Mike Tomlin is the head coach, it won't be good enough. You just have to move on. You have to move the on. We deserve better. It is time. Please. It's been enough. Move on.
That guy actually convinced me.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. He's going to get what he wishes for, and he might not like it. Because we were just talking about this in the break. There are going to be 9 head coaching openings if Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers divorce one another. Are there 9 good head coaching candidates? Are there 9 candidates that you are so certain of that they're going to turn your program around and make them a plateau higher than they currently are sitting on? You know, 'cause some of these teams suck, so it's just like the move forward is just win 5 games.
Right.
Right? But when you are sitting at 10 wins every season, basically, always in the postseason, is there a coach out there that's taking you to that next step?
So I think this discussion really fits with a lot of Yankee fans. Sometimes you're sick of quote-unquote mediocrity.
Yeah.
You're sick of banging your head against the wall. I totally understand that argument that dude made about it's the same thing every year. Because he's right.
Like, it is.
And I just say this as a football fan who has no ill will or love for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, every year, it is the same thing. And eventually you say, even at the risk of taking a step back, I have to try to do something different. Which is what Yankee fans have been screaming for a decade about Brian Cashman.
Yes.
Brian Cashman's a Hall of Fame GM, like Mike Tomlin is a Hall of Fame head coach. But at some point you say, yes, I may take a step back, but I've got to try something different. And I think that's where the Steelers are at. Now, you ask me if I had to make a long-term prediction in the next 10 years, are the Steelers going to match the success of the previous 10 years? Probably not.
No, they're not. And I don't know if they're going to have the longevity that they had with Mike Tomlin and with Bill Cowher before him. And the challenge now is if that falters, if whoever you bring in is just not that guy, are you firing him after 2 years?
Well,
are you firing him after 4 years?
That's the real test, because the Steelers have always been the antithesis of every other football team.
100%. And it's interesting with Tomlin, too, because, I mean, you say he's a Hall of Fame head coach. He is, because he's won a Super Bowl and unprecedentedly has never had a losing season.
Crazy.
That is unprecedented. But we've always said for head coaches, you got to have 2 Super Bowls. 2 Super Bowls kind of almost guarantees you that you're getting in, which is why it's a sin that Tom Coughlin is not in the Hall of Fame yet. I'm sure he will be eventually. But my point is, Mike Tomlin at 53, if he leaves the Steelers, there's a good chance, if he really cares about his coaching legacy, is going to coach again.
Before, to enhance his resume?
100%. If he cares about it.
Bill Cowher. I mean, Bill Cowher's a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
I know.
He also was stuck on the one championship.
True.
Based on that, I would say he is. One last thing before we get to your phone calls, because I joke about how I remember all the stuff you say. Sean says we replay the audio. I remember a strong opinion I had many, many years ago. It was a decade ago. It was actually all the way back in 2013 when the Philadelphia Eagles decided to move on from Andy Reid.
Right.
And obviously, same thing. We're outsiders. Rivals, but outsiders. And I remember warning the Eagle fans saying, I get it. You've had back-to-back down seasons. But all the success Andy brought you, are you really sure it's going to be better? You won't appreciate him until he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they made the decision. They got rid of him. And while it wasn't easy, look at the decade since.
For both teams.
Forget the Chiefs. Yes, they hired Andy Reid. Great.
Well, for Andy Reid, it was kind of the best thing that happened to Andy Reid.
It was the best thing for him. But for Philadelphia, I warned you, take a step back. Good luck. What happens? They've won two Super Bowls and been to three.
True.
Now, granted, they haven't had the consistency at head coach. It was Doug Peterson. It was Chip Kelly. It's Nick Sirianni. But nevertheless, I could tell you 12 years later, I was wrong.
Mm.
It was worth them taking the risk and the step back.
That's a good
point.
Because
look at what they've won in the last 12 years.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're the example of it working. A good team firing a coach who was a really good coach, borderline great coach, and then continuing to have success.
Yep.
That doesn't happen all the time.
8-8-8.
I mean, the Giants are an example. Now, Tom Coughlin was getting old, but you fire, essentially, a two-time Super Bowl-winning consistent head coach. Where have the Giants been the last decade since then?
Terrible. And going through head coaches every 2 years like a cycle. 888-808-1019. Mickey is in Dumont. Good morning, Mickey.
Hey, Mickey.
Hey, good morning. Hey, what's going on, guys? I don't know if you remember me, but Evan, you gave me some Met tickets one time outside of the studio.
Nice.
Tiki, we were at the Summer Jam, and you, me and you were talking about we have LBI houses, and you signed a bunch of balls for my nephews.
That's right. Appreciate you calling, dude.
Yeah, and you taught me how to run. I always said you always taught me how to run a football. So I'm a Jets fan, and and this is the best thing that could happen, that him taking a year off. He's coming from a city that's a grinding city, that's a, like blue collar, and the fan base is just out of control. And if you think about it, what is the New York Jets?
A blue collar
grinders, nut job fans that will ride and die for the team even though we stink. And he could come into an atmosphere, and if he brings an atmosphere and he brings a winning atmosphere to this team, he will become the most legendary coach to ever coach the New York Jets. And, it just we need somebody like him.
Mickey, he's everything we dreamt of. And so you're right. And if Tiki's kind of premonition is right, that Mike Tomlin says, I'm done, I'm walking away, and he sits a year or two, and things don't turn around with Aaron Glenn, Mike Tomlin is the perfect guy.
Right.
The problem is, as a Jet fan, that's years from now. So it's nice to have it. It's nice to say, go do TV for a couple of years, and we'll break glass in case of emergency. But it's not like he'd be walking through that door tomorrow. But it's good to know that in the back of our minds, if things don't turn around with Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, that the culture changer like Mike Tomlin would be out there. Because, he would be the dream hire for the Jets. He would be the guy that we would look at as the Bill Parcells person of this era. But you know what happens? And it happened to Bill Cowher. I know all situations aren't the same. It didn't happen to Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
Once he gets that taste of television and making money and the lack of pressure and the lack of grind, maybe we lose him and he never comes back.
True. I mean, it's a lot less money. I mean, those guys make probably $1 million around that. As a head coach, you can make, if you're really good, 15.
Reportedly, Mike Tomlin's current contract pays him between $16 and $17 million.
Yeah.
And you would assume if he got to free agency in a couple of years or had a chance to get a new job, that number would be higher.
Oh, yeah, he'd be up at 20. So you'd be taking a significant less number to play to be on television. Now, with that being said, he's probably been making $10 to $15 million for at least a decade.
So he's pocketed that money.
So, I mean, it's hard to spend $120 million. I'm just telling you. So.
Ever see Brewster's Millions? It can happen.
It can, but that was on purpose.
Yeah. Let's go to Nick in New Jersey. What's up, Nick?
Listen, so I'm thinking, I'm listening to you guys, and I'm talking, I'm thinking to myself, I go, yeah, that's great. Harbaugh, I think the Giants, yeah, Harbaugh would be a great addition to us. But let's take another step. Give me Tomlin. I want Tomlin as my head coach, and give me Antonio Pierce running the defense. What's your thought on that?
I mean, I would love for AP to get a chance to be our defensive coordinator, because I think, even though he doesn't have the experience doing it, he's a grinder. You talk about a blue-collar type player, that was him. And he would figure it out, but you know he'd have the intensity to get it done. Plus, Mike Tomlin as a head coach and a defensive-minded one would obviously help him along the way. We talked about this a little bit earlier. I don't think Mike Tomlin's going to be available to the New York Giants. Well, partly because we don't know when he's going to announce, but I think more importantly, if he was to leave and try to come to the Giants this season, the Giants would have to give up. So it'd be a trade. That'd be the only way to get him.
Yeah, so John,
and you'd give up two, maybe more, in first-round assets, and it's not worth it.
John Harbaugh got fired. Let's keep that in mind. Steve Spiscotti decided to fire him, called him up, and said, we're moving on, which allowed John Harbaugh to be a free agent. Mike Tomlin has next year under contract, and then the Steelers have a team option in 2027. You are pointing out, hey, if I'm Mike Tomlin, I'd walk away. If he does that, he's not a free agent.
No.
If he goes to Steeler ownership and says, it's been a good run, I don't want to do this anymore, he's under contract. And much like Sean Payton, even after sitting out a year, the Steelers own his rights and it would have to be a trade. And not that he isn't worth it, because I would argue that a good head coach is worth a first-round pick easily. Like, the impact that that coach has, to me, far exceeds, unless I'm getting a franchise quarterback, far exceeds the player that I draft.
Right.
But when John Harbaugh's available and Mike McCarthy's available and, you know, even for the Giants, Kevin Stefanski's available, who you like and they like, I think that's where it would make sense to trade capital when all these other really good head coaches are also available. Let's go to Ozzy in Woodridge. What's up, Oz?
Hey, Oz.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We're good.
All right, I just wanted to call real quick. No harm, no foul. Number one, what I read into the Tomlin thing, remember his exact statement is, I got to evaluate what happened in this stadium tonight. He heard the fire Tomlin chant again. So
that's a good point, Ozzy.
Yeah.
And he's been hearing that for a lot of
exactly
tough
that's why
moments
I said again.
This year.
Yeah, so that's number one. Keep that in mind. But I'm calling, I ain't going to lie, I'm calling as a Cowboy fan today. You guys said that McCarthy is in the Giants building, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Today is Mike McCarthy Day at the Giant practice facility, correct?
They cannot let him leave the building today without a contract.
Stop.
You cannot wait on the Harbaugh thing. It's too much of a gamble. The Giants need to hire McCarthy right now.
That's very important. That would serve you very well as a Cowboy fan, Ozzy.
I find that unbelievable to me. Mike McCarthy has an incredible resume, a resume that almost matches John Harbaugh. And here's a Cowboy fan who had Mike McCarthy here with three consecutive 12-win seasons, and he's calling up radio saying, I hope the Giants hire him.
But he didn't win a Super Bowl.
I get
so
it.
Here's the unfortunate thing about evaluating coaches from a fan perspective. So everybody knows what the Cowboys have been. They won since the 90s. It's been forever since the Cowboys have won a championship. Right, seriously. And so, yeah, they're good, but being good is not the goal. Think about Jerry Jones every single year. He's tamed it down, actually, talking about we're winning the Super Bowl, all this other stuff. He used to say it every single season. And, like, we're the ordained team type of mentality that they had down there. And the fans believe that. And so you bring in Mike McCarthy. He's fantastic in the regular season, but he is so short of the goal. Right? For the Giants, when we hire our next head coach, you know what our goal is going to be? Winning season. Give us a path forward.
Right, which is why he makes sense for the Giants.
Right, and so when you, this is no different than what's going to happen to the next Pittsburgh Steeler coach if Mike Tomlin should leave. It's not going to be, yeah, do what Mike Tomlin did and get us consistently to the postseason. It's going to be, win us a damn Super Bowl.
No, you're right.
And so if you are 5 years in, you win 13 games a year with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you don't get into the Super Bowl, the fan base is going to hate you.
Yeah.
And so Mike McCarthy isn't liked by the Dallas Cowboy fan base, not because he wasn't successful, but because he didn't get to the ultimate prize.
I get that, but if Mike McCarthy comes to the Giants and they're winning 12 games every year, of course, eventually you guys will get frustrated.
Yes.
That's bad for the Cowboys. if there's another team in your division winning 12 games every year, where are your wins coming from?
I 100% agree. No, you're right. I'm not espousing what Ozzie was talking about. But as a Cowboy fan, I see why he's like that.
Robbie is in Lennox. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, guys. How are you? Man, it's so good to talk during the day.
What's up?
Hang on 1 second. All right, so let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, Evan, I want to tell you something. I mean, it's great to talk to you. How's purchase treating you these days? You know, TC, Evan bought a house about 10 minutes from where I grew up, so I just wanted to see how you're doing. So anyway, and if you take Joe to play Hourwood one day, maybe you'll take him play golf there anyway. So it's fun. I miss those days growing up in PC and in Rybrook. But let's talk about our football teams. Teek, I got to ask you, you know, all year long we talked about the Giants and their draft picks, and I want to know who you want. I love the kid at LSU. I wanted to talk about that and get your opinion. Also, I wanted to mention something about my hockey team that you just mentioned. This is the most disgusting, embarrassing, pathetic season I've ever seen in my life. The bottom six stinks. They can't have fired Drury. How is this guy keeping his job? James Dolan in studio the other day says this guy's a winner. What, when he was in a Little League baseball team? when he actually was a member of the Colorado Avalanche?
I get it. The problem is what Dolan has shown you, and it's worked in Ranger history, is he's patient.
Mm-hmm.
And so I surmise that as bad as things are getting at the Garden, and I can't disagree with Robbie that this is one of the worst seasons they've had. The last time they had a year this bad, they wrote the famous season ticket letter in which they said, we're rebuilding, we're telling you the deal. I don't know what they do this time. Maybe there's another blow-up example.
Oh, it's coming.
I don't think it involves Drury. I think that Dolan has shown you, good or bad, that there's a loyalty to kind of sticking it through.
Yeah. No, I think you're right about that. And
a lot of fun.
Yeah, not for hockey fans. It's going to be rough for Ranger fans. But his question about the draft, the kid Mansoor Delane is a cornerback from LSU. Giants need a cornerback, obviously, especially with, what's his name, Cordell Flott being a free agent. But they also need a wide receiver, and Carnell Tate is who I would want. They also need a linebacker. Sonny Styles is the guy I would want. I mean, this could be a situation this year in the draft, and we're so far away from it. But the Giants might trade back into the first round to get some of these needs that they need again, just like they did with Jackson Dart.
Well, they don't have a third-round pick, which is going to make it challenging, the pick that they used to trade up for Jackson Dart a year ago. Let's go to David down in Houston. What's up, David?
What's up, guys? What's up? Good morning to you in beautiful Manhattan, New York City there.
Nice.
No doubt.
I love my Houston Texans.
Me too.
And I know that the Dallas Cowboys rule the Houston area, but Houston has its own football team.
Damn right.
And they have a Super Bowl caliber. Last night, I tell you, last night was awesome. That defense of DeMeco Ryans. Oh. It is a Super Bowl caliber defense that can win football games no matter where, how, or when, or whatever the weather is. And I just want to say that DeMeco Ryans is a genius. He's a genius.
Yeah.
He's done
an unbelievable job, David. And look, let's not minimize what's happened with the Houston Texans, because early in this season, when they were 3-5, people were counting them out. They haven't lost since week 9.
10 straight now.
Of the NFL regular season.
Yes.
10 straight.
Yes.
And they're not all beautiful and not all blowouts. Last night wasn't even pretty for at least the first half. So CJ Stroud felt compromised from a execution standpoint.
There was a lot of miscommunication because twice on the fumbled snaps, right, he had no idea the ball was coming his way.
100%. And then trying to regather the ball and throw it when he's completely surrounded and resulting into a two fumbles. I mean, he was bad.
Yes. And he was also inaccurate.
Yeah,
even some 100%. Of the completions were not at the normal accuracy we've grown accustomed to with CJ.
Right. Thank goodness Christian Kirk was on this team, who people had forgotten about because he was injured 2 years ago, I think he was. But he was amazing. One of those diving catches. I mean, he was fully laid out in front. He had a couple of other big plays, including a touchdown that, you know, was at the early starts of this thing pulling away from them. So, look, the Texans deserve a ton of credit. I think the reason they're not one of the favorites, despite how great their defense is because how inconsistent their offense feels. You just don't. You don't trust them to be great every night, every time they go out.
There's a couple of things about the Texans, and to David, who's a Texan fan, let me just say, I'm with you, bro. They are my hope as well. Mm. In a world in which the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots still exist, the Houston Texans are my team. I'm with you. I felt that way last night. And here's the other reason, and this is the human nature. So that's me, the bitter fan, very similar to Sean. I'm a bitter fan. I'm a Jet fan. So screw the Bills, screw the Patriots. Here's what I'm going to be like Tiki Barber. I like DeMeco Ryans.
Yeah.
I find him to be so freaking likable in a world in which
too.
Most of these head coaches are just loudmouth, arrogant, I know more than you, you know, douchey-in kind of guys.
Right. It's for a former player. He doesn't have an ego.
No, it doesn't seem that way.
He was great. I mean, wasn't he Rookie of the Year? Defensive Rookie of the Year for the Houston Texans?
He was Defensive Rookie of the Year. He made a couple of Pro Bowls, had a really solid NFL career.
Solid, long NFL career. Goes and learns under, I forgot who the defensive coordinator was. Was it Sala?
In San Francisco? I think it was Sala.
I think it was Robert Sala in San Francisco, and then gets his shot and immediately brings success to Houston.
They've had great success. They've turned the franchise around after the whole Deshaun Watson thing. And so he's likable from a human standpoint. Yeah. The other guy who's likable is C.J. Stroud. Now, he drove me nuts last night because it was sloppy as all hell.
Right. You know what I meant to ask you to look up, Sean? Remember the hand size controversy with high school or college quarterbacks coming into the NFL? Was he one of those kids? I couldn't remember.
Was because, C.J. Stroud?
Because when watching that game last night, a couple of the times the ball got knocked out, it was like, man, I wonder if his hands are small. It was the first thing I was thinking about. And so I was like, wait, was he one of those kids?
But Tiki, think about this. He had 4 fumbles in the first half last night. I think he ended up having 5 for the game.
Yeah.
He had 2 all season long. So it's not like it was an issue all year. For whatever reason, it was an issue last night. So for the Texans to do God's work by going to Foxborough and beating the New England Patriots, number one, they got to clean that up.
Yeah.
And number two, and I can't dismiss this because it was huge coming out of last night, is the injury to Nico Collins.
Yeah.
Who not only is in concussion protocol, it wasn't your typical blue tan, I barely saw it. The guy was carted off the field.
Yeah.
So I would be stupefied, stunned, whatever word you want to use, if Nico's on the field against the Patriots next week. So not only are they going to have to continue to run the ball really well, which they did well last night with Woody Marks and Nick Chubb, but Christian Kirk's got to continue to step up.
Dalton Schultz has got to have another good day.
And C.J. Stroud can't be sloppy.
Yeah.
That was some sloppy garbage last night. And luckily they got away with it because their defense is intoxicatingly awesome. Will Anderson has been worth all the hype after being number 3 overall. But I'm with you. Like, I look at the NFL playoffs, the team that I like the most from a selfish standpoint when it comes to division rivals, but also just a likability standpoint, is the Houston Texans.
Yeah, they don't feel threatening to any of our teams at all. By the way, he had big hands, C.J. Stroud.
Big hands.
Relatively speaking.
Big ham hocks.
Big ham hocks.
Big ham hocks. Let's go to Alex in Totowa, New Jersey. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Alex.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
All's well.
Good.
I wanted to make a point about Aaron Rodgers, to your guys' perspective, especially you, Tate, being a former player. So he's obviously earned the right, you know, at this point in his career, what he's done to call out players, chew out players. And the greats have done it, right? Brady's done it, Manning's done it, Mahomes does it. I just, as a fan watching, and I don't know what he's saying, I just feel like he does it in such an arrogant way when anyone makes a mistake.
Yeah.
You saw last night on that sack when the right tackle missed it. And I just, again, I just, how do you feel about that? And it's like, as a fan, there's a way to do it, right?
Yeah.
And
no, you're right,
I just
Alex.
I feel like when he does that, it doesn't work. And just real quick, I may make you guys laugh with this. He reminds me of Martell in The Replacements. When he just has this arrogance.
That's right.
Right?
That's
and he's so just like, true. I'm so good. I can do, if I make a mistake, well, I'm Aaron Rodgers. I can make a mistake.
Right.
You miss the block, you drop a pass, you're dead to me.
Yeah.
So I just want to get your point.
No, you're right. You're reading that you're exactly right. And the reason I think it's an issue, Alex, is because Aaron Rodgers has been in Pittsburgh for 10 months. It's not like Pat Mahomes, who starts yelling at guys because they've been together for 6 years, or Peyton Manning, he was there for a decade in Indianapolis. Like, you can do it when you have a long-standing relationship, and you know from experience that player should be better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one thing if you're yelling at a guy who, I don't know, who stinks. He's a backup. He's hurt, and you know he's not going to be there next year. You can yell at that guy, but and it doesn't matter. But if it's somebody who you know is a very good player and you expect better, that's when you got to be delicate about it. And so I think he just, it's just his emotion in the moment, probably. But it's weird to me because he hasn't been there that long.
It's funny how the jersey you wear changes a perspective. And I will be brutally honest about this. So last night, watching Aaron Rodgers, does it come across douchey, arrogant, the comp he made to the replacements? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. When he was a Jet, I loved it because to me it reeked of accountability. For a franchise that had so much failures
right.
over the last decade, I almost looked at him as the adult in the room who's going to fix all the issues. And it's not what turned out, obviously.
That's what he wants, by the way.
That's what he wants. That's what I wanted as a fan. And I think ultimately my bitterness towards Aaron Rodgers is disappointment. He came here mm-hmm. off of a 7-win season. The Jets were 7-10 with incompetent quarterback play from Zach Wilson. And it was the easiest logic in the world. Bring in Aaron Rodgers, right. even if he's not the Hall of Famer, and you should at minimum go from 7-10 to 10-7. That's not what happened. He got hurt right away. And so Zach had to fill in again. And again, they go 7-10. Then the following year, okay, he's healthy, same logic, and they win 5 games. And so for me, it's just the massive disappointment of the era and how it didn't work out. And I would assume in Pittsburgh, though your bar is higher, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
You've been in the playoffs every year with Mike Tomlin, or at least close to it, and you lose in the first round. Well, this year, you're back, same spot. It happens to be at home for the first time in a while. And what happens? The same stuff. And so I think the Steeler fan is going to look at Aaron Rodgers in a similar way to the way I look at him, which is, not that I hate you, but you're a massive disappointment.
Yeah, I think that's what is ultimately how he's going to be remembered. His tenure in Pittsburgh is going to be that.